Hey, Potters, and welcome to episode 135 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Welcome to an awesome episode. We have some really cool stuff to share with you guys today. As I see Val waving in the background, she looks so happy.
I'm so happy. It's been such a long week. You can tell just by my eyes and the bags underneath it, but it's just like, eh.
It has definitely been a week for most of the people we know. But hey, at least next week, as we're recording this, next Monday is President's Day. And I know a lot of people actually do get a break on that day,
which
slight
is
day off, unless
so
you work in retail.
Weird. At every job that I've ever been to, at every school I've ever been to, I've never had that day off. And now I'm hearing people are actually getting that day off. I'm like, what? What is this madness? And that is not fair. I should be compensated for the days I never got off.
Actually, this is the first year I get it off.
That's cool.
In fact, I'm being forced to take it off.
Oh, well, that's, well.
I mean, I can go. I just won't get, you know, paid any extra if I go. So it's like, eh.
Yeah, well, you know, close enough.
All right. So let's start with cosplay updates. I've started working on cosplay again, you guys. I'm so excited. Ah!
Yay.
Bouncy, 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 bouncy.
I put the applause in here, but I don't have it loaded. So, yay.
So, for the first time in 4 months, and actually probably longer than that, I actually had a free weekend. And I worked on cosplay for the first time since before I started my class. And I don't have too much to show at the moment just because it's in literal pieces. You see all my nice little pattern pieces. I even drew out the little sewing lines. Aren't I awesome? Mostly because I'm working on Pyrrha's corset. And this is actually the second pattern. I made the first one and I didn't like it at all. I didn't like the fit. It just did not drape well on me. And what she wears isn't necessarily a traditional corset because it's armored. So it's going to shape a little differently. And so the first time I used a dress bodice pattern, it's actually the same one I used for Cosmos. And I know it had fit me pretty well at the time. It just doesn't look right for Pyrrha. So then I went and I had bought one of Simplicity's actual corset patterns. It has the boning and the lacing and everything. And so I used that. And I haven't done any of the boning portion yet because I'm still learning, for one. And for two, I don't have any to use in my test pattern. That'll be next time. But I put everything together, sized it up, went, okay, you know, make my little changes, cut out new pattern pieces. I ended up combining several pieces because this is one of those times, kids, in life when you have to walk the fine line between accuracy and fit. Because, of course, none of these things have seams anywhere.
Oh, no.
None of these things ever have seams, except maybe here on the sides. You might see side seams if you're lucky. But this corset, I think it has 12 panels total. Pyrrha's, I think, only has 5. It has 3 in the front and 2 in the back. It's like, oh, okay. So I'm combining some of them. So I'm losing a little bit of the fit. But now that I've combined them, and that's actually what this pile is because I had to combine them all last night and figure out which ones I could. And of course, with the curvature, the combined pieces aren't precise because I can't open up the combined pieces fully since curvature won't lay flat. So I'm going to baste these guys together when we're done with this and check the fit again, see if I'm happy enough with the compromise to go forward with it. Because the suede I bought, it's actually really nice micro suede from Hancock Fabrics, which is no longer in business. So I don't get a second shot at this. I get one shot to cut the fabric, and then I have to buy a whole new thing of fabric because I don't have any more, and I can't get any more. So I'm trying to be really, really precise with this, and that's why you saw me tracing the stitching lines. So I have to make absolutely sure this fits the way I want it to before I actually cut the real fabric. So I'm doing a lot of prep work, but hopefully it will pay off in the end, because sewing shorts, not a problem. I've done pants, so I can just cut them short. That's all shorts are. The waist wrap, not a problem. It's literally a circle with a little bit of dangle off of it. A little bit of drape. The hard part's going to be the actual armor bits that go on. Deal with that later. Right now, the weather is such it's so up and down lately that I don't want to be working on a heat sensitive material at the moment. Not because it's too hot, but because it gets too cold for it to actually set properly. So that's what I've been working on for the time being. I am really excited to actually be working on this. I haven't been this excited since I sold my house. Like, I wake up in the morning, I play Fire Emblem Heroes until my stamina runs out, and then I work on cosplay. And then I go back when my stamina is restored and I play Fire Emblem Heroes some more, work on
Nice.
cosplay, lather, rinse, repeat. Eating is somewhere in
It's in
there.
there. It's in the
Sleep is
schedule.
somewhere in there.
You are so flippin' hyper right now. It's kind of funny.
Ah, I'm so excited to work on cosplay. I haven't had a stress outlet in 4 months.
Yeah.
And this class has been uber stressful, not to mention my promotion at work. I'm under a lot more responsibility, doing more things, which has also been stressful. So I've been really and just frazzled for the last 4 months, and I haven't had an outlet because I haven't had time to do anything except homework for the class and chores, buying groceries and such. So having this outlet is like 4 months of packed up, aggregated stress just
Instantly
exploding.
released. Yeah.
Yeah. So hence the hyper will kind of taper off as I go. Just this having been the first weekend I've worked on it, hyperactivity levels will probably be up here for just a little bit because I'm not normally a hyper person. I'm really not. I'm actually really chill and even
She's
keeled.
really not. That's why I'm like, okay,
I'm
you're a little
chill most of the
bouncy.
time. Yeah. This is hyper for me. So given like 3 weeks of this, I'll get over it.
Yeah. She's having her moment.
Yeah. Plus, I've been taking apart my old Sode no Shirayuki costume from Bleach because I knew I'd never wear it again. So I've been taking it apart and using the fabric for patterning because it's just plain white broadcloth.
Yeah, why not?
So it works great for marking because you can see really well on it. Not to mention, it's just cheap broadcloth, so I don't have to feel guilty about slicing it up. Excuse me. So it's just for a pattern. So now I just have to stitch this little thing together and see what happens. I know I'm still having image problems because I know I'm still overweight. I've built actually quite a bit of muscle. It's actually visible in my upper body now, but it's pushing all the fat into other portions of my body that I'm not proud of. It's like, oh, I have a spare tire now, and it's not pretty, and it's making my costumes fit funny. So yes, I know about Spanx and all that, but all it does is it just smooths things out. It doesn't actually make it go away, which is what I need to do. So hopefully between now and Akon, I can make a little bit more of it go away. And I can make my lower body look more like my upper body. So yeah, that's what I've been working on.
This is pretty much an Amber segment because Val doesn't really have anything.
I have sucked up all of the cosplay energies and I have taken them and made them my own now.
Which is fine.
For a weekend at least, because I know everybody else is at KatsuCon, so.
I know, right? And I'm just constantly looking at my Instagram feed and I'm like, I'm getting more like it's also awesome, but I'm like, I can't look at this. This is just making me depressed. I'll never be that They're
Yeah, I
also
know the
pretty
feeling.
costumes. They're just super, super pretty. And actually the one that I like the most is probably the simplest looking. It's oh shoot, shoot, shoot. Trying if I can find it, I'll find it. But there's a lot of Yuri on Ice cosplays, of course, because Yuri on
Of
Ice.
course.
Duh. And they have such beautiful suits in that show, though. Like, seriously, I'm looking at those skating outfits and, like, some of them are very impractical, but they're so pretty that it doesn't really matter.
If you look at the level of cosplay, like Potters, just go look for cosplay photos from, I'd say between 2005 and 2008 is kind of when it started getting popular and people actually started getting into it. Look for photos around that time from conventions because a lot of conventions do still keep their photos online. Look at those and then go look at KatsuCon photos from this weekend. massive, like just astronomical difference between what people did back then and what they do now. Not just because there are new materials, but there are new techniques. There are tutorials on all of those techniques everywhere.
Everywhere.
And a lot more people have tread that path now so that other people can just follow and know how to do it. Very few people back then had reference shots, so they just kind of had to make do. Yesterday, I was browsing Facebook. Final Fantasy 15 fans have now put out comprehensive PDFs for cosplay on all of the main characters. Turnaround shots, very close-up shots so you can see textures. They show you the hair, front and back. They show you the footwear. They show you the armor. They even show you the jewelry that they're wearing. All so that you can make it as accurate as possible and have the easiest time because they're handing it all to you. We didn't have that back in the day. Where's my cane? It's just look at the difference. It's insane. And it makes us feel old.
It makes us feel very old, and it's just like, that's
Right.
all. That's all I can say is just, ugh.
All
You
right.
young kids, you whippersnappers, you have no idea.
All right, so all con. We actually have our prize packs complete now.
Yay! I'm so happy. I don't have to keep begging people.
And so we have added Five Wits, which is a wig making company, along with Eridani and others to our prize pack. And of course, we still have our grand prize, which is the full air compressor kit.
Which is sitting back here, and I'm not going to lug it back over because it's heavy. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. And we've also got some McCall's patterns for you guys. Now, they're not actually sponsors this year, but they are still very cool patterns nonetheless. And actually, later on in the after session, we'll be talking about some of their new patterns and their cosplay line that they've come out with. But
Definitely looking forward to it. I know what we've already added is we've got $10 gift cards from Joann's that we're giving away to all of our judges' awards and audience favorites. So it's not just a certificate, you're actually getting money out of this. Yay! And then the actual gift cards that we're giving away to Five Wits, it'll range from $25 to $50 for the category winners. And then Best in Show will get a $75 gift card, which is a lot of wigs.
It's at least two.
It's at least two, or if you get like a wig and the accessories that go with it. So yeah, that'll go a long way. So thank you to the Five Wits. I'm so glad. They're at Katsucon this weekend. So if you happen to be there and you're listening to us right now, because I do see we've got a couple of viewers, you stop by their booth and take a look at them. So you'll know exactly what you're getting yourself into. They got really cool stuff. I'm really surprised and impressed by the fact that you can get some really good high quality wigs, but they still look natural, even for your crazy anime characters.
I actually own one of their wigs. My UA wig is one of theirs. And I can testify it is good quality. And it's actually a very reasonable price. It really is.
It really is, yeah. It's nice to see that there are other wig companies out there. So I know that there's Epic and there's Arda, and they're great companies, and we've used them multiple times. So it's nice to actually have another option that isn't based in the US and can give us a little bit more diversity in the field.
And they're actually fairly local to us. So shipping is very quick.
Yeah. Good for the last minute stuff.
Yes.
So
Especially
yeah.
if you're attending a convention.
Had to think about the word there.
I was thinking conference, and I was like, no, conference isn't the
No.
right word. Brain, work.
I
Yeah,
ranted about
I'm
this
gonna.
last time.
Yo.
Right. So I'm really happy with our prize packages this year. I think it's a little bit more broad spectrum in the type of content that we're offering. It's a lot more gift cards, but it's also products that Amber and I have used before. So we can actually stand behind them and say, yes, you're going to get a great quality product out of whatever you spend your gift certificate on. So that's kind of cool.
And we were not paid for any of this.
No,
We don't get any compensation. We're just thanking these guys as our sponsors, and we were voluntary customers of theirs before we started doing the AllCon cosplay contest.
Yeah.
I have been buying Eridani ears for years
Years.
because, hello, I'm a Rennie. So, yeah, and I've obviously I bought from Five Wits long before they became a patron of our contest. And Joanne's, I can't even remember how long I've been stopping at Joanne's.
I was about to say, Joanne's has been in our lives for how many decades now?
For at least one decade.
For me, at least 2.5, maybe even the entire time I've been around. Because before I got into cosplay, I was really big into cross stitching and embroidery. And they always had like the best kits. So I would always buy my kits from them.
Say 2 decades ago, I was 12.
I know.
I don't know if I was shopping at Joann's at that point.
I know, I definitely was.
All right. So, to bring you guys our wonderful interview, we had the absolute privilege to sit with Shinka Studios. He was actually at a con in Colorado when I recorded this interview. So, I do apologize that it may be a little shorter than what you were expecting, but it is packed with content. He was very professional about the interview. I'm very happy to have been able to speak with him. So, please enjoy. Hey, Potters. We have an awesome interview for you guys today. I know it's been a little while since we've done one, but we're starting off with a bang. We have Carl Martin of Shinka Studios here with us. Say hi, Carl.
Hey there.
Thank you so much for being with us today. For those who don't know, he was on Heroes of Cosplay and has built a successful business for himself as a cosplayer and as a guest. So if you would, Carl, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell everybody a little about how you got into cosplay.
So, hi everyone. My name is Carl Martin. I am owner and operator of Shinka Studios. I've been cosplaying for about 7 years now. I've been doing professional prop making for a good three, I'm making a living from it and pretty much just going around the country, judging contests, having a booth, selling prints, and making cool stuff.
Indeed, very cool stuff is shown by some of your more current projects, which we will get to here in a little bit. But first, you got a good portion of your start, not all of it obviously, but a good portion through Heroes of Cosplay. What caught your interest enough in it to audition for it?
I was living in Florida at the time with my girlfriend, now fiance, and she pointed out that they still had applications out for it, even though the deadline had passed like a month beforehand. She was like, you should go ahead and apply. You don't know what will happen. I just randomly sent in photos in the application. They were like, hey, you did the thing. Welcome. That's pretty much how it went.
Fair enough. And you had a fairly successful run on the show.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. I didn't get metaphorically or literally pooped on like some people.
Fair enough, given the cosplay community and its penchant for drama.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's been a little while since the show ended, and you've had a bit of time to develop your own cosplay persona that is separate from Heroes of Cosplay. How do you think your experience on the show changed you?
So I hate people. No, I'm kidding. I don't hate people. I'm a lot more professional about who I interact with as far as the community goes and prop makers as well. Because it's a business. This is how I make my money. This is what I do for a living. But at the same time, I want to make sure that the community is a positive place for people to grow up in, because that's what I did. Whenever I was cosplaying back in 2009, 2008 time, I got my start then, and I wanted to make sure that now, as somebody who's more out there in the community, that I host amazing panels, that I'm out there helping people, that individuals can just contact me anytime they want, they get just use of my experience. Well, I'll make sure that everyone's progressing in the community in the right manner.
Do you find that the community is the biggest influence on your cosplay, or do you actually have another one?
So I find one of my my biggest influencers for my cosplays are my friends. That's one thing I also changed about myself, is that I have a much smaller pool of friends than what I used to. I used to be a lot more of a social butterfly around conventions and being trying to wear myself thin, almost trying to attend to everyone's needs. It's kind of unfortunate, because then you start getting used by people, and it's so much better to cut poisonous people like that out of your life. You're so much healthier mentally and physically. It helps so much. But now I have this small group of friends. Like I said, I got my fiance for Agafox. I got my friends Brian and Andrew, Nipa Dubs, and my two Fu and then Heidi and Jared, Tillery Heidi and Pro Jared. They're all wonderful people that I hang around with. That they're incredibly positive people, but they're also so talented and driven, and that's what helps drive me.
So, speaking of some of your cosplay friends, many of whom are well known in the community for doing phenomenally skilled work, do you actually have a preference between solo cosplay and cosplay in groups with your friends?
So there are different things that help you choose whether or not you want to. Of course, you're going to have a lot more drive cosplaying with other people because part of it is that they're relying on you to get things done and you don't want to let them down. But at the same time, I have had those groups where I'm the only one that finishes their costume. And it is incredibly frustrating. It is. So you gotta pick the right people if you want to get the most out of it, of course. But it's about having fun. It's about making things that you love and putting it out there for people to see. So of course you want to do it with people that you like.
Sure. Do you find that to be the most enjoyable aspect of cosplay, having fun?
Yeah, I have a great time. I have a great time actually getting out there and meeting people. I'm by my booth most of the day, if not doing panels, running around. Like at Acon, I usually do autograph sessions and things, and just meeting people that they appreciate my work, or they say that they're a fan or anything. It's wonderful. It keeps me going. It makes me incredibly happy. And of course, I want to give back to the community. I want to make sure those people are taken care of.
So, I know that you've been around the convention block quite a bit. Do you have any conventions or experiences that you have on your cosplay bucket list?
So there are a couple cons I really want to do. I want to do Anime Expo, which I'm actually doing this year.
Nice.
Have a great time there. I want to do Katsu. I know it's this weekend. Hopefully next year I get to go, but got to pay the bills. So out to a con where I'm a guest at, of course. There are a couple more around the country that I'd really like to get to. They're some of the bigger ones, but most of the time I can't get to them unless I'm a guest, just because of money reasons. It's a lot easier to get out there. I guess one of the easiest ways is whenever a fan or anyone actually contacts the con and asks for me.
That's fair. It's not the cheapest thing in the world to fly across the country to a con.
This is not a hobby that you can go into with zero money.
True, though speaking of making money, since you do have a cosplay business under Shinka Studios, can you talk about what it's like to have to balance business and then cosplaying for fun?
Well, it's kind of hard because my prop making is where I make most of my money, with my Hearts of Tefiti or just coming out with my Buster Sword and things like that. That's where I'm gonna make the main bit of my money. Of course, it's a lot of time to make those things and the R&D process and creating them and getting them out to everyone because I do all the work myself. Like I do all the sanding, all the painting, all the everything on all of it. So I have to find time to juggle the cosplay aspect because I want to, of course, have new costumes, do photo shoots in for conventions. I'm currently working on Twilight Princess Link as well as my Rathalos armor from Monster Hunter. But other than that, it's just you'll find me most of the day, like most days, I usually work a good 5 to 6 days a week, 16 plus hours.
Oh wow, that's a long day.
Yeah, it's exhausting. It is. But gotta do it. Gotta do it. Especially if I'm the only person doing this business. Hopefully soon, once I get the Buster Swords out on the market, I can actually hire some help.
True, and it's a labor of love regardless to spend that kind of time, especially
Oh,
if you're
yeah.
not making money on it yet. All right, so I wanted to wrap up and ask, since you have been in cosplay for a few years now, do you have any advice for up-and-coming cosplayers that are just getting started?
Focus on your craft. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Make sure you make the right decisions and the right friends. There are a lot of people in here that want to use you, and it's not good. It's not. There are toxic people in the community that you need to keep away from, of course. but just do you. That's the best advice I can give. Do you work on the craft, better yourself as a being, as a human being. That's actually the advice that that Yahya Han gave me whenever we were shooting at I think it was Animix or something like that out there in Florida. Whenever we were shooting for Heroes of Cosplay, I sat down with her, and that was some of the best advice she'd given me was, if you need to take commissions, if you need to get your work out there, just don't take shortcuts. She's an amazing craftswoman, and she does amazing things, and she deserves it because she's put all the time and effort into there. And so I try my best to not take shortcuts, and that's the best advice that I can give the community.
Very sound advice, especially when you're first starting out and starting to learn things. All right, so if people would like to find out more information about Chinka Studios, say about maybe commissions for Buster Sword, kits, prints, where can they go?
So you can find me, Shinka Studios on Facebook, Karl Martin Cosplay on Instagram, C Martin Cosplay on Twitter, or Shinka Studios on Etsy.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you again to Carl for sitting down with me and having that interview. It really was cool, you guys.
I hope you guys enjoy the funny images I put on top of Amber's face.
I couldn't do anything else about it. At least we got the audio.
Yeah, exactly. It just
Tech
me.
problems happen.
They do happen. I will have to train her in the art of twitching so we know we always have a backup. You know how it is. Stuff happens. It's
Stuff
okay.
happens, and sometimes when you have really limited time, you just go.
You
So,
just roll with it. So it's all good.
yeah,
Not to worry.
welcome to the media.
Yeah, right?
All right. So our main topic for today, which, as always, we have taken up from posts in the forums that we do follow for various conventions, badges and convention pricing.
We don't need no stinking badges.
That is the title of this episode.
We don't need no stinking badges. I'm okay with that.
Or I may end up having to abbreviate that to no badges needed, just
No,
because we have limited
no stinking
no
badges.
stinking badges. Okay.
I'm
That I
gonna
can
write
fit.
it down.
Yeah, I have limited
No
character length when I do this.
stinking badges. Done. Saved.
But basically, fans are having to come to grips with the reality that conventions are costing quite a bit more than they
Oh,
used to. Speak
God.
back 2005 to 2008, you could attend a basic anime Comic-Con style convention. I'm not speaking of Dragon Con, not BlizzCon, not San Diego Comic-Con, not the big ones.
Just like your
So
local anime or
your
local comic
local
book
average
convention.
convention,
Yeah.
you could attend them for 35 to 40 bucks
For the
for a
weekend.
weekend pass.
And that's 3 days.
And that's right up until the convention. So I'm not accounting for, pre-buy your badges a year in advance. No, I'm talking like a month before the convention, you could still get your badge for that price. And it had been that way for a few years. Economy crashed, things happened. And so you end up having to walk the fine line, and I'm speaking now as somebody who has helped run a convention as senior staff. You have to walk that fine line between what people can afford, what they're willing to pay, and you being able to profit enough as a convention to pay your bills. I'm not even speaking of profiting on top of paying bills at this point, because not all conventions are for profit. And so that's not always a concern, but you do have to be able to pay your guests. You have to pay your hotel fees, you have to pay
Right.
any contractual fees. If you have guests that have stipulations like, paying for hotel rooms for their agents and such, you have to be able to pay for those. If you have volunteer block space, people get crash space if they volunteer, you have to pay for those, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have to pay for things like electricity and bandwidth for your internet, for your vendors and such. There's a lot that goes into it, basically. So back in the day, it was 35, 40 bucks. Now I'm talking your average anime convention first. Your average anime convention is running you somewhere between $50 and $80 for the weekend. $50, not that much of an increase. $80 is a pretty sizable
increase
from what it used to be. And a lot of the conventions are starting to expand to 4 days now instead of three. So that $80, keep in mind, is for 4 days, not three any longer. Especially those that are over holiday weekends. Your average Comic-Con, on the other hand, is starting to run you anywhere between $80 and $120.
If you're lucky, because there are some.
This is pre-purchasing, by the way. This is not at the door.
Right. At the door prices.
At the door
can
be more. And then, of course, you have your San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, BlizzCon, DragonCon, all those, where the badges can run you anywhere up to $200 for a basic badge. This is not counting VIP. This is not counting deluxe or premium or any of the other add-ons that you can get for autographs and getting in line sooner and getting premium seating. There are advantages for getting the higher badges. And most of the time, the badges will get you into everything at the convention, save for specific special events. So for example, at ACON, your badge will not pay tournament fees if you enter a gaming tournament. You have to pay for that separately. It will not purchase autographs for you. You don't get any free autograph prints. You have to purchase those separately. And the badges will not get you into special events like Victorian tea, steampunk ball. Some of those things are extra. And cons are starting to offer those as bonus content that you can pay for. It's like an a la carte menu kind of thing.
Yeah, they're definitely taking off the Comic-Con, you know, system of, you know, the badge gets you into the door, but if you want to do all this extra stuff, you're going to have to pay even more money. That's the part that kind of annoys me, because Comic-Con, especially Dallas Comic-Con this year, I already know some people who've already budgeted out at least $1,000 to $1,500 to accommodate all of the guests and the autographs and the photo ops. And it's just like, man, you could have a really nice week-long vacation for that money. But they're dropping it all in one day because of all the guests that are coming. And I'm just like, there's a point where it's like, that's just too much money. It's just too much. It'd be one thing if, and this is something that I do still appreciate about some anime conventions that do this, is that the badge gets you into the door, but that you can still see the guests. You can still talk to the guests. Sometimes the autographs are included with the badge price. Maybe you have to spend $5 to get the print, but it's only $5, not $250. So it's at least a little bit more manageable. But with a lot of Comic-Cons, it's like, you know, have breakfast with Stan Lee for an extra $300. You'll see this live Serenity panel of a bunch of the actors coming back together for $350. And it's just like, nah, that should be included in the ticket package. I mean, I'm already dropping $200 just to get into the door. I should be able to at least see a couple of panels without having to spend even more money.
And to play devil's advocate just a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine. That's the whole point of this.
Excuse me.
You're excused.
It's like cable packages on television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a select core group of people that enjoys watching sports a lot. And you can pay extra if you want the premium sports packages. Okay, so if you want, you know, a few different versions of ESPN so you can watch your favorite team, that's fine. However, the price of the core sports channels, even if you don't watch sports at all, is subsidized in the rest of the core package cost for everybody else. Everybody else is helping to pay for those people to watch sports. I look at Comic-Cons a bit of the same way, to where there are certain stars that people like to see a lot because they're fans of the show. That's great. Those stars tend to have appearance fees that the con has to pay, you know, ranging from a couple hundred to thousands of dollars, however much it is. Now, some of that fee is subsidized across all of the badge prices. And that's why some of the badges are starting to really climb in price, because they're bringing in higher priced celebrities, or the existing celebrities may start charging higher fees because their time is worth more money to them. And so those cost increases are passed along to all of the badge holders, the attendees. So while I could see including some of that, if you're going to start including all of it for, you know, let's say basic celebrities. Let's say Stan Lee is in his own category. Basic celebrities, the cost of everyone's badge is going to have to go up, and I'm not sure attendees are going to want to sanction that, especially because people go to conventions for different reasons. Say if I go, me personally, I like to attend panels. I don't go for guests. I don't really care what guests are there, and so I would be a little ticked off if my badge price suddenly went up so that everybody else can see guests. It's like, but I'm not here to see guests. Why are you charging me more for something I will never use?
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, devil's advocate a little bit. I can understand why they're charging for certain celebrities, and it's to kind of go towards the airline model of skeleton core, and then you pay for all the extras, like
right?
carrying more than two bags.
I'm sorry that I actually have to go on vacation and take a bag with me. Don't charge me $50 for it, you punks.
Yes. You can pay for earbuds, you can pay for pillows, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of that a la carte model. But I know that there are some cons who are kind of moving to that all-in-one,
yep,
everybody pays for everything kind of models. And they market it more as just the experience as opposed to, you know, distinct experiences or distinct focal points for that con.
And as we've been talking about this with other people that we know, I've noticed that most people seem to be okay with the badges and the prices of them. They're like, you know what?
Currently.
We understand that everybody's expanding. They're bringing in new guests. So we get that the prices of the badges are going to go up. I think most people seem to be concerned with all of this a la carte stuff that they're having to spend so much more extra on, because some of those prices are a little unreasonable. I mean, I get breakfast with Stan Lee, but really, like $500 to be in the room with him for our breakfast?
I'm going to knock Akon a little bit. This is constructive criticism, as always, because I love Akon. We volunteered for them for years. Their charity pass used to be $35. And all that would do is move you to the front of the line. You didn't get any other benefits with it. All the money went to charity. That was very affordable for the perk they were giving. And, you know, money went to charity. That was fine and good. If you wanted to participate in the charity breakfast, that was separate. If you wanted to participate in the raffle, that was separate. So you could pick and choose what you wanted. Well, now the charity fast pass is $80. And they're just throwing all of the perks into it. They're like, oh, well, for this entire package, you get that you could have bought separately the first time. So now they're kind of forcing it to be all packaged together. It's like, I'm already paying X amount for the badge, X amount for the hotel, X amount for food, you know, X amount for parking.
Mm-hmm.
All of this budgeted together, $35 I could see. I can't afford $80 in that kind of a budget. And so there's less being paid toward charity in general, because that's less affordable in the budget. For $80, people are going to spend that in the dealer's den and the artist alley. They're not going to spend that at a charity budget or at the charity breakfast. Whereas $35, I could easily see people doing that and, you know, cutting back maybe a little bit on the dealer's den as opposed to just not spending it at all.
$80 will cover the parking for about 3 days where we're staying at right now.
Four.
I know you say four, but the parking in downtown Fort Worth is expensive.
At the hotels, it certainly is.
It's ridiculously overly priced. And you know they're going to jack up on those lots over the weekend. There's no doubt about it.
And
it sucks. I mean, it's like you want to be kind and you want to support the con, but at the same time, you got to look at your budget. And it's like, I cannot designate that $80 for a charity. I got to designate that $80 for my parking fees. And I think that's where people are starting to run into issues with just conventions in general, is that all of this excess stuff is coming up, but hotel prices are going up substantially and it's not meeting inflation properly. I mean, I understand
it's
the things
are demand.
Yeah. Costs are going up, but not at such an extreme rate that a hotel room should be so expensive. Food shouldn't be so expensive. Parking shouldn't be so expensive, but they know that there are customers who are willing to pay for it. So they'll do it.
And you know that there are people who are trying to cram 6, 8, 10 people into a hotel room to cut down on costs.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say that a couple of things, and I'm not going to rant on this, even though I have in the past. If you cannot afford it, don't go. Don't try and bum space in somebody's hotel room for free. Don't offer them absurdly low prices for their hotel room. Say, oh, I only want to pay $20 a night. No.
Not going to happen.
Well, I'm sure that there are people who will do it, but you'll have 12 people in your hotel room and the experience really sucks. Realize this is a nice con. This is a nice hotel, wherever you're going to go. Budget to pay the rack room rate. And if you save money, great, you've saved money. But you really need to budget realistically for this sort of thing. And if you can't afford it, don't go. Be an adult. The next thing is that the hotel has been contracted with the con for a certain rate. That does not preclude you from using your club memberships to investigate the pricing at hotels in the area, because you may beat the con rate. I did for Akon. I am paying less than the con rate for Akon, and I'm getting breakfast for free in the deal with one of my club memberships. And I registered at the hotel outside of the con. Nothing stops you from doing that. I mean, yes, the con has to fill up their block, but nothing stops you from saving money either, guys. So consider doing that. Do your research. This is not rocket science, and you have months before the con to do it because they've announced their hotels. And the last thing is, if you can't afford parking or you choose not to afford parking at some of these places, you have Uber, you have Lyft, you have taxis. If you don't want to pay parking, have an Uber drop you off at the hotel and then you have nothing to park. Now, bear in mind, that means you have no transportation to get around the city if you need to. So you will need to either walk everywhere or take public transit or have Uber come pick you up again. But if you're just going to walk around the city and use public transit, then consider just having Uber drop you off and then pick you up and take you home. That's probably cheaper than your parking's going to be. All you have to worry about is, you know, loading your luggage into and out of whatever picks you up. So if you end up having a lot of cosplays, then you may need a larger vehicle to come and pick you up. But just something to think about. You don't always have to pay parking. There are alternatives. You can even take public transit there if you feel like it.
I mean, there are definitely ways to make it work. And I mean, we've been around long enough that we understand the importance of budgeting and finding sales and specials and deals. But there are some people who are just not aware of that. And it just takes time and experience to get to that point. So, I mean, even if you do find all the deals, things happen, stuff can come up, and you may end up having to pay more than what you've expected because reasons, life, stuff happens. You know, so just always budget for more than what you had initially planned to spend. Like, just expect yourself to pay that con rate, expect to pay the full rate on everything just in case.
And we get it. You're bummed that you can't go because you either can't find a room with the rate that you're looking for, or your car breaks down, life happens. We understand that you're bummed out. We have had years where we could not go to a con either. I mean, heaven knows, a few years ago, I was actually called back to the office while at Akon, and I had to drop the rest of my trip because I had to go into work for the rest of the weekend. My coverage dropped out. I cried. I fully admit, I cried that night because I was so upset because that was my vacation. I very much understand. But sometimes you have to do what you have to do. If you cannot afford what comes up, don't. It's not worth putting yourself into debt for a convention. The convention will be there next year, unless you're Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve.
Should we make that the name of the episode? Unless you're...
No. No. No, no stinging badges is fine. Just, you know, lessons learned from NYE.
Oh my goodness.
But conventions are going to charge what they're going to charge. You can complain all you want. They're private entities. I'm not going to tell you get over it because you don't have to, but basically you'll end up, if you want to go, you'll work with it. If you don't, then just don't go.
Yeah. I mean,
budget appropriately. And while you can make complaints to the convention staff, which you are always welcome to do, I don't think any of them are going to drop their prices anytime soon.
Probably not.
So the best that you can do as an attendee is simply to budget. Plan, use all of the resources that you have at your disposal, including corporate discounts if you have them and it's ethical to use them. Use your club memberships. Ask your friends. Maybe your friends know of resources that you don't. Budget accordingly for cosplay. You know, if it comes down to affording a hotel room or making another cosplay, maybe you shouldn't make that other cosplay so you can go and be in the hotel room. Just, it's really easy to put everything down on paper and take a look and see if it balances.
And if the rising costs are just too much, I mean, your wallet does speak a lot. I mean, what you do with your money is really, really important. And conventions notice this. Conventions see this. And if they see that they had a drop of attendance after they did a raise in the badge prices and they get feedback, hey, your prices were too much, I couldn't attend, they do listen, and eventually things will get tailored. Now, it's not an immediate response, of course. But I mean, if you are really that insistent about not going to a convention because you can't afford it, then stick to your guns and don't go. Because if you just keep giving them money, they're going to keep raising the prices. It's just how it is.
They're seeing how much you can afford and how much you're willing to pay.
Well, one point they're going to hit that cap where they realize, okay, we can't charge people more, but if you continue to keep paying, they're going to keep doing that price increase. It's just as simple as that.
Right. And, you know, bearing in mind that the people that come to the con are contributing to the prices, you know, guests and such, you can always give them feedback and say, you know, it would be really nice if you had a few fewer guests so that you could drop badge prices a little bit. They'll see that, you know, fewer people are visiting the guests too. The con staff notice this. They have constant monthly meetings to talk about the aftermath of the con and then the planning for next year's con. They take very good notes, guys, I promise you. I've been in those meetings. Val has been in those meetings.
God, yes.
Yeah. So, be an adult. I guess that's the long and short of it.
Adulting!
There are always other cons. Especially here in Texas, there's always another con somewhere on that same weekend.
Yeah, support your local cons. Go to the small ones. The small ones are usually fantabulous. You get to meet a lot of great people and have a lot of fun doing it. So, you know,
yeah,
stay local, stay small.
Mini Acon is next weekend.
Yeah.
So if you can't go to Acon because the cost is too much, go to Mini Acon. They have two of them. Or go to Anime Fest or any of the other many hundreds of cons.
Bazillions of cons that are happening every weekend. I think at one point we're hitting market saturation and it's just going to burst and we're going to see a huge drop off.
Yep.
All right, that's all I got.
So we are going to once again thank Carl of Shinka Studios for sitting with us for this episode's interview. Next episode, we actually have a fantastic interview as well with the amazing Amazon Mandy. So hopefully you guys are looking forward to that. I know we certainly were. That Yay! Was, we just recorded it. It was so good.
Just trying really hard to not be goobery fangirl. She was like, oh yeah, the year I went to Acon. I was like, I met you at Acon.
We will see you guys in next episode. Happy cosplaying. Hopefully those at KatsuCon have great pictures to keep sharing with the rest of us. You can contact us on all of our social media here.
Vanna White it.
And of course, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, if you have questions about competing in another cosplay contest that is not ours, we're always happy to answer questions. If you need advice on your cosplay, if you just want to show us progress shots, that's fine too. We really love seeing those pictures from you guys. And we love getting the feedback on the show. Please remember to share us as well as download and watch the show. Please rate and review us on iTunes and your favorite podcast aggregators. Otherwise, we will see you guys next episode in 136. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye, guys. Remember, sign up for AllCon contests here.